Thanks for checking out the podcast of the Church at Lake Travis. If you have any questions about our church, visit us online at churchlt.com.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to week two of Raising Positive Kids in a Negative World. My name's Jeremy. I'm the lead pastor here, and I want to say welcome to you. If you're joining us as a guest today, we're especially glad you're here. Church of Lake Travis family, let's welcome all our guests just by saying thank you. Yeah. For our guests and our regulars, if you notice, there's a big connection card and there's a little connection card. And we're asking everybody, this is the last week, just to update your information on the big connection card, because that will help us make sure that we're able to stay in touch with you. If you're visiting, you can let us know on that connection card as well. And then on the back of that card is for those who are partners of the Church of Lake Travis who say, yeah, we're all in. We want to be a part of what we're calling the T2 vision, that is a transformed people for a transformed city. We believe that that's our vision as a church, that God's calling us to be a transformed people for the transformation of the city. Now, if you are a guest today, I want to say you can pretty much look inside that bulletin you should have received when you came in and find out a little more about what's going on at the church. But also know this, because I believe, you know, it's the back to school time, and kind of Labor Day was last weekend. Now we're going to get back into routines and settle into some rhythms. When you visit a church, it's a big deal. Like, you got to overcome a lot of obstacles. For instance, rain. I was thinking I could open, like, my Bible today and say, in the days of Noah, we are, no, you know, it's like the flood. But when you come to a church, you're overcoming all these obstacles of, like, oh, man, I don't know if I should go, and it's new people, and weird. And here's what I want you to hear. We don't want anything from you. Like, really, Lee talked about giving and things like that. Like, that's not for our guests. That's for our regular folks that are regularly apart. We don't want anything from you. We simply want something for you. That's why we're doing this series, Raising Positive Kids, because we want to help families experience the kind of transformation that we believe is possible. So thanks for being here. If you're visiting, we're glad you're here. Let me just review where we were last week. Last week, we talked about how children are like arrows. Psalm 127 says, like arrows in the hands of a warrior. Like, that's how our kids are. We're called to launch our kids, and we're called to help them make an impact with their lives like an arrow would. Now, we said, in order to do that, we have to have a clear target, right? Like a clear target. And we said there are a couple of different kinds of targets that we see around our culture. One is the American dream, but one's God's dream. And we said, in order to pursue God's dream, we really have to dial into His Word and know what His Word says. And then we said, but it's so important to know the bullseye on the target. And we said, we want our kids to know who they are. We want them to be secure in their identity. If you are a kid, we're glad you're here and you're kind of learning with us as we're going through this series. And here's what I want you to do, kids, because I gave your parents a homework assignment. How many of you kids, when you have homework, your parents are always asking, did you do your homework? Yeah, so kids, I want you to turn to your parents right now and ask them, did you do your homework last week? All right, good. Yeah, some accountability. So here's the thing. Last week I said, write down what your target is. Write down what do you want for your child? What do you want? And having a clear picture of that will help you begin with the end in mind to say, yes, that's what we want. And then define what is it. We said that identity piece is telling our kids, you're a child of God. Like, they need to know that first and foremost, so they don't go trying to find themselves when they're 40 or 50 or 60, however old that is. So we also said this. We said that parents need to be positive parents in order for kids to become positive kids. And we know that to be true. Like this, and that's what really today's going to be all about. But I think it's important for you as parents, and I want to say this each week, to know you are the parent. Like, sometimes we get confused in our culture and our kids think that they're the boss, but they're not. Now, in fact, God gave you responsibility to be the parent. So be the parent. In fact, I think that Beth Moore was probably listening to my sermon last week, because I don't know if you know who Beth Moore is, but she's a real popular Bible teacher, and she would never probably listen to my sermons, but I would listen to her. So here's what her tweet said this week. She said, "To all the parents taking livid kids to church, drive on, ye brave heart. Though they whine, pout, sass, and snark, steer that wheel, though thy punishments be harsh. Hosts of mighty saints had the kind of mean, awful parents who put their hind ends in the car and drove them to church. But my kids don't want to go to church, nor do they want to do their homework, nor do they want to take a shower, nor do they want to go to school, nor do they want to sit at the table and eat an actual meal with their families, nor do they want to go to bed. They ain't the boss." All right. So, now, we're going to raise positive kids. We got to have a little bit of humor. And I read this week. I thought it was a little bit funny. It said, "My daughter asked what it was like to be a parent, so I interrupted her every 11 seconds until she cried." Everybody remember Liam Neeson from the movie Taken and Taken 2, 3, 4, 5, however many they did? He said, "I don't know who gave my child a whistle, but I will find you and I will kill you." He didn't really say that. Anyway, so how about this one? This is my favorite because I used to say that I love my kids, but I love them a whole lot more when they're asleep. You know, so here's what it said. "I look so peaceful when my kids are asleep." Now, let me give this caveat. I want to say this every week, too. I am not a perfect parent. I screw up all the time, like all the time. I really, really have made scores of mistakes. And yet, at the same time, I take this book and I evaluate my life according to it. And I say, how can my life look more like this each and every day? And I find principles that apply to me as a parent and to me as a husband, and I want to be better and better and better. In fact, we believe God's Word has given us a lot of instruction when it comes to parenting. We know that we can only scratch the surface when it comes to that in this series. So what we're doing on September 23rd, Sunday afternoon, September 23rd, 4 o'clock p.m. at the Keller Williams Building, we're launching a parenting small group, basically, called Parenting on Purpose. It's going to be 8 weeks long. You'll be able to dig in and really discover more about how to do this parenting thing better. It is awesome. My wife and I have participated in that in the past, and it's really, really good. And let me say this before I jump in, this last thing, and that is, this morning as I was praying for you and praying for this gathering, I really felt like I got a clear word from God, and I'm not sure who it's for. It may be for many of you. It may be for us collectively as a church. But this is the impression I got, is that no family is too far gone that God cannot heal. No family is too far gone that God cannot heal. So if you're here today and you're like, "Oh man, I've blown it. I've made too many mistakes. I'm too far gone." That word is for you. Because God wants you to know there's hope. God wants you to know there's healing. He has the power. And I want to say this is a no-guilt zone. Like, you feel bad about something you've done as a parent? Nope. Wipe it away. No guilt here. Ready? Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time together. Thank you for your word that we're going to discover this awesome truth and principle. And I pray that you would open our hearts and minds. Let us receive what you have for us today. For some, that's healing. For some, that's just a freedom from shame and guilt. And so I pray you would do that work today in a way that only you can, from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Last week we said we need to imagine the end. This week, the principle that I want to talk with you about for our remaining time together is make it personal. Make it personal. What does that mean? What does it mean to make it personal? This principle may impact you more than it impacts your child in the immediate. And that is because it's about you. It's about you taking your personal journey seriously as a parent. Because when it comes to character and faith, our kids are watching us. They're watching us in ways that we might not expect them to, and the ways that they don't watch us in other pursuits of our life. And because it's so personal, we can't do faith and character for our kids. Our kids already have this front row seat to our lives, and so the question is, what are they watching? What are they watching? Are they watching something good? Is it just a show where you put on a happy face on Sunday and you do one thing here, but you do something else Monday through Friday? Or is it an adventure where you're living and you're making an impact in your generation for Christ and your kids are watching that? Make it personal. What if your personal growth was the bigger story that God wanted to write into your child's life and your family? You see, I think our kids need to see us. They need to see us wrestle with real life stuff. They need to see us struggle for answers. One of the best things that we can tell our kids is, I don't know. Like, I don't know, but I'll try to find out. We struggle for answers, to face weaknesses. There are people who have so much pride that they will never admit that they're wrong. One of the things that I did when I was a young parent is I thought in my mind, if I admitted I was wrong, that it would somehow cause my kids to lose respect for me. And I remember we were living in this little townhouse in South Florida, and I remember the first time that I experienced this tug in my heart that I needed to go say that I was wrong. And I remember Tyler was, by the way, I'll just go ahead and say, Tyler was our oldest, is our oldest, and we've probably made more mistakes with him than any other child. He's like our guinea pig. And so, sorry, bud, for that. But so I went in and sat down with him and just said, you know, Dad was too harsh with you. I raised my voice too loud. I don't remember the exact scenario, but I remember just having to swallow my pride and saying, I'm sorry. And what I thought was that would cause him to not respect me, he just grabbed me and hugged me. Kids have so much grace for us, don't they? He grabbed me and hugged me and just said, it's okay, Dad. I love you. And I saw that our relationship grew and the respect level grew more and more. Our kids need to see us fight for our marriage, Mom and Dad. They need to see us not fight with each other, but fight cleanly and fight for each other. They need to see us resolve personal conflict. Like, they need to see real life demonstrations of conflict resolved. They need to see us deal with real problems. This week, on Wednesday night, some of you remember Jacob Cole. He was our student ministry director here for a number of years. And if you don't know me, I am an early to bed, early to rise kind of guy. So, like, I mean, if it's after 9 o'clock, I'm going down. Like, it's not like at night. You're not going to get me. Jacob knows that about me. And so I get a text at 11:45 at night that I don't see till 5 o'clock the next morning when I get up. And the text says, are you up? And I'm like, Jacob, you know me, like, of course I'm not up. Like, that's not a question you should be asking. So it's 5 o'clock in the morning and I know him and he's not up at 5 o'clock in the morning. So I said, you know, I'll answer him later. So around 2:30 in the afternoon, I text him. I'm like, hey man, I'm like, did you mean to text me? And he's like, yes. And then I'm in the middle of typing. I'm like, you know me better than that to know that I wouldn't be up at 11:45. So he just calls right in the middle of that text. And he's like, hey, I just need to let you know something. And he told me that one of Tyler's Young Life leaders who's been in the Young Life program as a leader since Tyler was in sixth grade. Tyler's now a senior. His name is Jackson Borg. And he told me that Jackson was killed in an accident on Tuesday. And of course, it impacted me. But greater than that, I thought, man, we're going to have to talk with our kids about this. And so we went. I called Ashley and told her, and then kids all came home that evening, and we sat down at the table and said, hey, everybody, you know, come over, we need to talk. And they're like, oh boy, what's going on? You know, like they think somebody's in trouble. And we're like, no, just something serious, you know. And we had to share that news with them at the table. That's real life. And it's hard. And it's challenging. And yet, at the same time, how we handle those things is so important for us to show our kids the emotion, the pain that we feel in our own heart. Some people are like, you know, never let them see you sweat, and don't ever shed a tear. I don't buy all that. I think you need to express emotion. We're created in the image of God, and there's all kinds of emotion that flow out of who He is. And so I think if you're sad, shed some tears. If you're happy, maybe you shed some tears too. But let that out. Be real with your kids. And here's what I believe. Our kids need to see us. They need to see us make relational, emotional, and spiritual growth a priority in our life, because if we don't make it personal for ourselves, then we may never see it become personal for them. This whole thing of life on life is real important. Last week we looked at Ephesians 6:4. It said, on the negative side, don't overcorrect. And how many of us have been there? We've said, oh yeah, I've done that. But by contrast, bring up your children. Bring them up with Christian doctrine, and that's, we talked about what you teach, and Christian discipline. That's what you do with your life, and that's really at the heart of modeling for our kids this personal aspect of faith and personal aspect of what we want to see in our child. Positive parenting demands that we make it personal. So today we're going to look at a super practical passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. And here in this passage, basically the church at Corinth, if you don't know, has a lot of struggles. And Paul, as the spiritual father, writes to them as one who's writing to a child. And he's kind of giving them the correction that they need, the love that they need. And he's saying, hey guys, here's something that you need to know. You ought to live this way. You ought to live that way. He writes this personal letter, and he tells them, look, hey guys, I'm your spiritual father, okay? I'm your spiritual father, so listen to what I have to say, because there's a lot of other people saying other things, but I'm the one you need to listen to very, very carefully. So he writes, as a father to spiritual children, he says, I'm not writing this, verse 14, I'm not writing this to shame you, which is so important, right? Like, there's no room for shame. I'm not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. In other words, this is coming from a warm heart that the Apostle Paul is giving this instruction to people. And he's saying, hey, I want to encourage you. He's not down on them. And he goes on, he says, even though you've had 10,000 guardians in Christ, these other people who've invested in you, you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. In other words, I care for you more than anybody else. And you probably need to say that to your kids sometime, like, hey, I don't care what that person says. I just want you to know that I love you more than they do, okay? I care for you more than anyone else. And he goes on, he says, I was the conduit for God's grace that brought you this message. Now, here's the application. It's verse 16, and I think it's so important, and I hope that we can all say this about our lives to our children. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. Imitate me. If you want to, if you have notes and you want to write a little word there, it's the Greek word. The Greek word, you'll recognize it. You probably didn't know you knew a Greek word, but here it is. It's mimic. Mimic. M-I-M-I-C. Hey, kids, mimic us. Can you say that about your life with integrity? You want them to mimic you? I hope so. When it comes to making it personal, modeling is a huge part of what we know to be true. If we want to be raising positive kids, we must be positive parents. And we know that it takes a lot of time to do that. One person told me years ago that a lot of people think that love is spelled L-O-V-E, but kids spell love T-I-M-E. Time. Several years ago in Newsweek magazine, there was a 17-year-old boy, and he said, "There's lots of anger in my generation. You can hear it in the music." He said, "Kids are angry for a lot of reasons, but mostly because parents aren't around." Now, some people will say, "Well, Jeremy, yeah, I know it's that time thing. Yeah. But we do quality time. Like, you know, like we do. It's not about the amount of time we spend with our kids, but it's just about the quality time we spend with our kids." And I would argue against that and say that there is no substitute for the amount of quantity, quality times that you have with one another. This is a truth that we need to hear. There's no substitute for the quantity of quality times. Deuteronomy 6 talks about how when we get these commandments of God, we need to impress them on our children and talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk on the road and when you lie down and when you get up. And just notice, it's saying there's frequency, but there's also quality. Like, there's a quantity of time spent, but a quality of the quantity time that's spent as well, especially when it comes to the character of our kids that we want to develop. Whenever we think about this, we have to know that these moments of teaching will come at the most unexpected times. They're so unpredictable, aren't they? Like, when we were, Ashley and I both were Sky Ranch camp counselors. Sky Ranch is a Christian camp up in East Texas. And when we were in college, we would serve the summer as a counselor. And they talked about teachable moments with us all the time. And they just said, you know, you'll be walking along the path and you'll see a butterfly. And you can talk to your kids and say, "Y'all see that butterfly? That butterfly represents that it once was a caterpillar, but it's transformed into a butterfly now. And did you know that God wants to bring that same transformation in us?" Like, those moments are unpredictable, though, aren't they? But we have those all the time if we're spending time with our kids. Not only do we see that moments are unpredictable, but we also see that spiritual growth can't be visualized. Like, you can't see it, which is unfortunate. But it's so gradual. Spiritual growth doesn't happen overnight. We have four boys, and those boys, we also have a daughter, but she doesn't do this. They're often found in front of a mirror flexing and showing their muscles. And in fact, the other day, it was 6 o'clock in the morning, and we were all up getting ready, and we had a couple that go to early football practice, and so they're up getting ready, and Sam is 13 now, and he's kind of just wanting to see where he's grown. He's standing in front of the mirror at 6 o'clock in the morning in the hallway. I'm like, "Sam, what are you doing right now? Like, you need to get on." And Ashley, can you believe she would say this? She said, "He's only doing what he sees you do all the time." We Wouldn't it be great? Now, we're just trying to see, have we grown? Have we developed? Wouldn't it be great if spiritual growth were the same way? That we could see that happening in our kids, see their character growing and shaping and forming. I think about this. I heard years ago about a tree that's in Japan called the Kumshai tree. And it begins, as all trees do, with a little seed. And the tree's planted in soil, and it's nurtured, and it's watered, and it's taken care of, and year after year, more are planted, and they have this tree that begins to grow, but it only grows a small bit. After the first year, there's just a tiny little bit of growth. After the second year, not much growth, but they keep watering, and they keep nurturing, they keep planting more seeds, and they have this process that they go through, and the second year, a little bit of growth, third year, not much, fourth year, not much, fifth year, not much, goes all the way to the seventh year, and in the seventh year, the Kumshai tree sprouts and grows 20 feet in 1 year. Don't miss the point, folks. When we are nurturing and developing our kids, we can't always see that growth that's occurring, and we got to continue to water and nurture and plant more seeds and water and nurture and plant more seeds, because at the right time, our kids will blossom and become the positive kids we've always dreamed of. That's the truth, and that will only happen if we're spending quantity of quality time with our kids. Now, I don't have to say this because I know that there are some of us who are overscheduled parents. Like, we know, we're overscheduled. And I don't have to say this. I know that all of us know that there are some kids who are overscheduled kids. And so we have to take extreme measures to kind of stop that madness at times. One of the things we've done, and I'll tell this, my kids get made fun of all the time, but we instituted something in our house last year because we were studying and learning about the effects of the phone on the brain. It's just like crack cocaine, folks. I mean, it's bad news, right? Like, it's just like, give me that. I gotta get more. It's just the uncomfortable laugh. I know. And so we instituted something called dark hours at our house from 6 to 8 p.m. where everybody puts their phone up. And it's like, I mean, you'll see people, they're like twitching, like, where's my fix, man? I got to get my fix. But hey, these are meant to be devices that help us connect, but they're actually devices that create a disconnect. You ever been at lunch with somebody and they're picking up their phone the whole time you're at lunch with them? You don't feel a connection with them. And if we're going to connect with our kids, we're going to have to do some things that may be uncomfortable for us. I had a professor in seminary who told me that he had four children, and every night he spent 1 hour with his children per child. Like, hey, I'm going to go spend time with Tyler for 1 hour, just him and I. And then I'm going to spend time with Blake and just him and I 1 hour. And then, you know, that's a 4-hour investment, but is it not worth it? It's worth it. Here's your practical application. This might be a surgical removal, but here's the practical application. Write down one thing that you can remove from your calendar this week. Write down one thing that you can remove from your calendar this week that will enable you to invest more time with your kid. Now, there's another truth that's at work here, and I'm going to not spend as much time on these, but there's another truth at work here, because if this truth is not in you, then your kids know it. Like, they do, and when it comes to spiritual and character formation, your journey impacts them greatly. Here's the second truth. If you want it to be in them, then it needs to be in you too. The author of the book of Proverbs was Solomon. Most of the Proverbs were written by the wisest dude ever. And here's what he said. He said, speaking to his son, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man." Now, here's the problem. Solomon was saying one thing, but he was doing something completely different. And what was the result? The result was his kids didn't follow the commandments that he was telling them. His kids followed his life. By contrast, Deuteronomy 6 says, speaking to parents, it says, "These commandments I give you today are to be upon whose hearts? Your hearts. Your hearts." There's a difference, right? Like, it's got to be in us before it can be in them. The whole family unit was designed to be a small group. And you as parents are the small group leader. Congratulations. Pastor Charlie, Pastor Lee, Miss Rebecca, we can't fix your kids in an hour a week when all they're seeing throughout the week is your life and what you're doing. So here's your practical application for getting it in you, and that is to prioritize reading your Bible. Prioritize reading your Bible. Pretty important. If you don't have a Bible, let us know. We're happy to buy you one. I'm pretty sure most people in the room can buy one. But begin to read it cover to cover. I would recommend, we use the chronological Bible, the one-year Bible that's chronological. It's awesome. Another one that there's a gentleman in our church who's really... the last year has been radically changed because he started to read his Bible for the first time in being a Christian for 30 years, but he started reading his Bible and all of a sudden his life has changed. And he got walk through the Bibles, one-year Bible, so you can jot that down, walk through the Bible. It doesn't matter which one it is, but start reading your Bible, prioritize it so that you'll be able to have it in you, so that it will be in them. The last truth about making it personal is this, and that is that rules without relationship leads to rebellion. You know, when we think about this whole thing of parenting, where do we look for our model? If we're going to model, if we're going to make it personal, who do we look to model for us? We look to God, who is the ultimate Father, who shows us again and again how to do this whole thing. And I want you to see something. God never instituted relationship through rules. He confirmed relationship through rules. But notice, what did God want first and foremost with Adam and Eve in the garden? He wanted relationship. He wanted to connect with them and who they were. He wanted them to have fellowship with him. And he gave them rules to confirm that relationship. Fast forward all throughout. Abraham, God told Abraham, "You're going to be my people. Like, all your people going to be my people. Like, that's I'm choosing you." Relationship. Then, a couple hundred years later, he gives the law to Moses to confirm that relationship. Rules are not given to establish relationship. Rules are given to confirm a relationship, to say, "I love you enough to give you rules." Now, that happens different with different age kids. I said Tyler was our oldest, and we made a lot of mistakes. I mean, we were imposing rules like that we established when he was like 4, when he was 14. Like, those weren't necessarily the rules he needed when he was 14. We were probably way too, like, it's, we laugh about it. Like, we didn't let him go to any school dances or anything, like, in 6th or 7th grade. And it's funny now to us looking back on that, because when we look at that and we're like, we kind of laugh. We're like, oh my goodness, how silly were we? Like, it wouldn't have hurt him to go to a sixth or seventh grade little dance, because guess what? At sixth or seventh grade dances, boys and girls don't dance together, so it's okay. Parents, listen, truth without relationship leads to rejection of the truth. Rules without relationship leads to rebellion. Discipline without encouragement leads to bitterness, anger, and resentment. Josh McDowell, working with teenagers for 50 years, he says, I say to people, pray for your kids. It's important. Pray for your kids. But I'll tell you this, you can pray all you want, but if you don't build a relationship with them, forget it. They will walk away. Now, I don't know about you, but I love reading in the Gospels and seeing how Jesus interacted with people. One of the favorite stories we talk about around here a lot, especially with our hospitality team, is the story of Jesus with the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. And we look at him and we see him approach this woman, and he starts with relationship. And then later in the narrative, we see him challenge her with this truth and these rules about, hey, you've been married to a bunch of guys. Sorry. You've been married to a bunch of guys, and you still aren't living for God. And he challenges her with that truth. And here's what I think is so important. Jesus starts with invitation. He invests in a relationship, and then he challenges her. And I think that's a great model for us as parents. When it comes to this whole rules and relationship thing, I see this four quadrants. And it's going to come up here on the screen. You'll be able to look. If you have a high relationship, that is, you're buddies with your kid. Yeah, we're friends, you know, like my three-year-old is my best friend, you know, like, I don't know, sweetheart, what do you want to do today? You know, like, but you're low on boundaries and rules. You probably have a spoiled brat. Entitled is a word that goes there. If you have low relationship and high rules, you got soldier. Like, yes, sir. Yeah, that's the most dangerous one, right? Like, you for sure have a rebel on your hands if you're in that quadrant. Well, they just need to listen to what I say. They just need to do what I... Do you ever just sit with them and have a relationship and talk about their day and find out what's going on in their world? If you have low relationship and low rules, they feel alone, secluded. Like, you don't love me enough to even give me any boundaries. You don't love me enough to spend time with me. So they feel secluded. They feel isolated, abandoned. But if you have a high relationship and high rules, you have a secure child. And I hope that all of us can look to that and to say, yes, I want a secure kid. I want a kid who knows they're loved, who knows that they're significant. They're set up. If they're secure, they're set up for success and significance with their life, and that they get this sense that they belong. Every kid, I said last week, every one of us are, that we wake up and we want to know, who am I, first and foremost? The second part of that is, do I belong? Like, am I a part of this? And study after study had been shown that kids who early on feel a distance between mom or dad, that they have problems later on in life because they don't feel like they belong. They don't feel connected. I understand where that comes from, but we all want to know that we belong, and we all want our kids to know that they belong. So here's your practical application when it comes to this, and that is to write down one thing that you can do to help you this week move closer to high rules, high relationship. Like, when I say high rules, I just mean that you're consistent in discipline, okay? That you say, here's the standard, and here's what I expect from you, and here's, but I'm right here with you. I love you. And that looks different for a 3-year-old as it does for a 13-year-old, as it does for a 30-year-old, right? For some of you empty nesters, you have kids that are out of the house, and you kind of abandoned this whole parenting thing, but guess what? You're still the parent. And so this is relevant for you too. How can you this week write down one way you can move closer to high rules, high relationship, encouragement? What's one thing you can do to encourage your child if you need to invest in that relationship? Discipline. What's one thing that you need to work on when it comes to discipline? Write those things down. Now, transformation of a family begins with a transformed life. If we're going to have positive kids in a negative world, then it starts with us. And we know that it has to be in us. We know we have to spend lots of quality time with our kids. And we know that we can't major on the minors. We can't make mountains out of molehills. That we must invest relationally, and we have to have clear and consistent boundaries with our child. We know that to be true. But all that begins with a vibrant, life-giving relationship between us and our Father in heaven through Jesus Christ. When we talk about belonging, I don't know about you, but it connects with my heart like maybe nothing else does. Because I know that I want to belong, and I know that God is my Father, and He offers me that kind of belonging. He invites me in to His family, and He's inviting you in today too. If you're here today and you've never prayed and asked God to come into your life and asked to be connected to the family of God, I want to invite you to pray with me. And know that the moment that you express your faith and your cry to God, that He begins to hear you, and He begins to envelop your life with His arms and bring you into the family to say, you belong. The same way we do with our kids. So would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for our friends that are here today hearing the truth of your word that we're all hungry for belonging. And so I pray for my friends that maybe have never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that you would help them to take that step of faith today, that they would say, Heavenly Father, here I am. Accept me into your family. I want to be called a son or a daughter of God. I want to be accepted. I want to feel secure and significant so that I can pass that on to my kids.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Our mission is to lead people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ, and our prayer is that you are closer to Jesus as a result of listening today.